We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. As good as that beep segment is every single week, that's the one time. In fact, I don't think I've ever remembered leaving so much beef on that proverbial bone. There were so many other good calls and so many other good tweets that I did not get to. A good segment just keeps getting better and better every single week. All right, so we go into hour number three. In this third hour, I've got a conversation with Brandon Bean. I've not run him down in a long time, so I'm really excited to get him back on. We had Terry Fontenot on for the first time ever, Falcons GM. Kamaru Usman came on, who just crushed it. Amazing interview with him. Beef segment was tremendous. So we're into our third and final hour. You want to call right now, 1-800-636-8686. I have a Silken Sin update, so I will get to that momentarily. But in the meantime, I do want you to call or hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Go to my Instagram feed. You never know what you might see there. There is content there that is not on the show, that's not on my Twitter feed, namely my kid. My kid was pitching yesterday, raking. The team lost, but I don't put any of that up there. Just when good things happen to the kid. It's like Instagram, the big lie, man. Everybody puts only good things up there. So follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome if you want to see my next of kin and me and my life away from the show. All right, all that said, and I will get your phone calls in here. However, I want to reset you on something. So this show is national in scope. It is a national sports talk radio program. It is a TV show. It is both those things. And I do want to emphasize the part of it being national. It is a national show. That is by design. I came up in local radio. I started in a small market, Santa Barbara. I moved to a large market, San Diego. It was at one point in time that I, along with John Lynch, decided that I wanted to brand or expand the show even further. I don't want to spend my entire career just banging local topics. We went national. I take a lot of pride in the fact that it's a national sports talk radio and TV show. Now, having said that, thanks to circumstances which nobody would have ever been able to foresee, in a million years, I have been working a particular beat that is not national. Not only not national, it sure as hell is not sports. And I've been on this beat for the better part of a year. Even worse, it's a political beat. The beat is the Huntington Beach City Council. In fact, I would go as far as to say that the Huntington Beach City Council, not only is it not national, nor sports, and it's political, but it's actually given this show as much or more content than the Lakers, Cowboys, Yankees, Patriots, and Dodgers all combined. I don't have time to reset the entire saga, but I also cannot speak on this topic without some context for those of you who have no idea why I would even bother talking about the local politics of a small, sleepy surf town that 99.9% of you have never even been to and never will. Here is the brief backstory. When the COVID lockdown first hit, a legendary jungle caller and a smack-off champ by the name of Silk Bra tweeted to the Huntington Beach Police Department to come down and remove four beach volleyball players because at that time they were breaking protocol. Brad Incorona, another legendary jungle caller and a five-time smack-off champ, saw that tweet. He called in. He roasted Silk and then glossed him, Narc Bra. Silk Bra became Narc Bra. Weeks later, Narc Bra went to City Hall and fought against restaurants wanting to reopen outdoor dining. It did not help his new reputation. Narc Bra then decided he wanted to be on the other side of the council chambers. He wanted to be one of them. He announced his candidacy for the HB City Council on this program. Right around that same time, MMA Hall of Famer an HB native, Tito Ortiz, did the same. He joined the same race. And this is why this is a thing on this show. A longtime jungle legend with a rap that so many of you hate versus a legitimate sports superstar with a rap that so many of you hate. The battle between Silk and Tito was made in team content heaven. It was almost too good to be true. Then the local news gets wind of it, and they get involved, and they gave Silk and Tito the treatment. There were 13 candidates running for 3 seats, yet the news profiled only Narc Bra and Tito. And it was then that we all learned together that despite all these years on the program, Narc Bra had an actual name.
Eric Silkinson, which the locals known as Silk Bra, usually fights for waves in the lineup, but here on dry land, he's going for a different ride.
That reporter knew something about that guy that I didn't know, and I've been talking to him probably 3 times a week for a quarter century. From Silk Bra to Narc Bra to Eric Silkinson, all in about 2 months. I mean, the guy has been calling the show for like 100 years. I had no idea he had an actual name or what that name might be. Anyway, election night happened. Eric Silkinson got murdered. You know, like Eric Menendez murdered his parents. Well, not quite like that, but Eric Silkinson got murdered. He finished in 12th. Out of 13, with 4% of the vote. Meanwhile, Tito sets a record for most votes in HB history and is named vice mayor. Unfortunately, part of the new gig meant getting sworn in. It was at that point that Tito began to murder the English language and ultimately tapped out himself in front of everybody while trying to speak.
I just solemnly swear. I do solemnly affirm.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
You talk about first degree murder. My man should have got the chair for the way he murdered the English language. And it got worse from there. Since then, Tito has continued to embarrass himself and his town. He waged war on a local business. He then called out the legendary Kim Carr, the mayor, for making him wear a mask inside. And his fellow council members held a public meeting whereby they threatened to strip his vice mayor title just 6 weeks into the job. If Tito's term was not already a joke, a couple of YouTube satire pranksters made it an even bigger joke when they called in and they asked Tito to come to the skate park to beat up an 8th grader who was bullying them for riding scooters.
What up, council? My name is Chad Kroger. Yeah, so we love to scoot at the park, but lately our enthusiasm has taken a hit. Some of the regulars at the park have turned on me and JT. These 2 8th graders, Brady and Taryn, and sometimes their older brother DJ call us handlebar jockeys and P-words. Since these kids won't listen to us, we think we know someone they will listen to. Tito Ortiz.
We don't want you to ragdoll these 8th graders like they're Ken Shamrock, but we would like you to at least pose the threat of violence until they back off.
Yeah, we just want to scoot in peace.
First of all, these 2 dudes should be on the council. These 2 dudes deserve some sort of promotion in life. Yo, bro, we just want to scoot in peace. Like that was really good. Really, really good. So here's the kicker. The worse Tito looks, and this really is the kicker. The worse Tito looks, and he looks worse and worse and worse. The worse he looks, the worse Silkinson looks to all of you clones, because you can't believe that he lost to that guy. Well, it turns out Silk is not just sitting around waiting for 2022 to run again. Like, Silk's beatdown in that race was the equivalent of Chris Weidman getting his leg snapped. But Silk's already right back up and fighting back. Because yesterday, Silkinson was nominated for an HB government gig by the extremely honorable and distinguished mayor herself, Kim Carr. Here is a resident named Amory Hansen calling into Monday's city council meeting to suggest that they approve Silkinson's nomination for a certain governmental position.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amory.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayoress. My name is Mr. Amory Hansen, and I am a candidate for councilman in 2022. I would like to reiterate my support for item 9A, the appointment of Professor Eric Silkinson to the Huntington Beach Mobile Home Advisory Board.
My man, A.H. That's what I'm talking about, Amory. That's what I'm talking about. The introduction also on the Zoom call really was incredible.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We got you, A. We got you, A. We can hear you, A.
Hello? Can you hear me?
There you go. Now, I want to say, like, when you get that kind of support and that kind of endorsement, I mean, what else is there? He, as far as I'm concerned, he's in. However, did my man just refer to Silk as professor?
I would like to reiterate my support for item 9A, the appointment of Professor Eric Silkinson.
All right. Whatever item 9A is, put that aside for a minute. Professor Eric Silkinson? Professor of what? The Surf Report? Cashing his wife's paychecks? Substitute teaching? My man is a professor. Or you're a professor. Oh, okay, I'm a senator. Silk's a professor. I'm a czar. I'm an emperor. I'm the president. Professor Amory, my man, what do you know that I don't know? Professor since when? But wait. 9A, what position did he just get recommended for exactly?
The appointment of Professor Eric Silkinson to the Huntington Beach Mobile Home Advisory Board.
Wait a minute. The Huntington Beach Mobile Home Advisory Board. My man is going to be in charge of the trailer parks? For real? Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, right? Maybe, maybe not. Let's find out how the council voted on item 9A.
Mayor Pro Tem Ortiz.
Aye.
Mayor Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember Posey?
Aye.
Councilmember Mosher?
Aye.
Councilmember Del Blaze?
Aye.
Councilmember Kelman?
Aye.
All right, I don't know what's more impressive. The fact that Tito almost but didn't butcher aye. Nailed it. I'm surprised he didn't get up like, nailed it. That or the fact that that decision was unanimous, not a nay in the group. Unanimous decision minus some dude who was absent. Silkinson, scoreboard at a kid. You're now in charge of the 8,000 mobile homes in Huntington Beach now. Atta professor.
Professor Eric Silkinson.
I am shocked about one thing, that he got Tito's vote. But then again, Tito has got much bigger fish to fry, as last night he came under fire by multiple residents after TMZ reported that Ortiz was filing for unemployment and COVID relief, all while collecting a government paycheck to be the VM.
Aye.
That didn't go too well for Tito in the public comments. And it's not getting any better as more and more deets come out. Especially since the honorable mayor Kim Carr told NBC4 in LA that what Tito did may in fact constitute fraud if the allegations are proven. But again, this is not about Tito Ortiz double dipping from the government while simultaneously and hypocritically opposing the government in every social media post ever. This is about Eric Silkinson getting all Jim Leahy from Trailer Park Boys with it. My man is now in charge of the mobile homes. How many of them? All of them. I couldn't be more proud. This guy wants to be on the council in 2022, and he's showing how serious he is by getting involved in the interim. Future voters are taking note. I know they are. They have to love that. There is an old saying, of course, shoot for the moon, because if you miss, you might just hit the mobile homes. And for Professor Narkbra, it's shoot for the city council, because you might miss by 96% and hit the tin can homes instead. Yo, E, great job. Great job, Silk. See you in the park. The trailer park.
Professor Eric Silkinson.
Gotta love it.
Aye.
It's incredible, man. The content just keeps coming. Big shout out to Silkinson.
Professor Eric Silkinson.
Tito. The extremely honorable Kim Carr. Oh, and look who's in. Jano just texted, quote, "That was on the cover of the Register on Monday." So, Jano, are you saying that I'm talking about old news? Or are you saying that that got the front page treatment? She's got some bubbles coming up right now. Let's see what the response is. I think she's talking about Tito's allegations. They're getting bigger and worse for Teets. My man. Like I said, the funny thing is, he looks worse and worse and worse and worse. But that just makes Silkinson look worse and worse and worse and worse to all you clones, because he got ragdolled so badly. I love those two bros, those two YouTube bros. Yeah, can you come down to the skate park and ragdoll these fools?
Yeah, we just want to scoot in peace.
Oh, wow, this is unbelievable. This is like the most Jano response ever. Jano just texted me, quote, "There is some very nice mobile home trailer parks in Huntington Beach." Jano, I know I'm not dogging mobile homes in any way. Jano takes every one of my takes and she flips them over like I'm being negative or something. I'm just going to wait for the little bubble to come up that says you're crazy. Let's get some reaction. That was a rather...
Aye.
Wells in the 360 tweets, "Silk would be living in one of those trailer parks if it wasn't for me." Signed his wife. Hey, Fatso.
Bruh.
Good job. Well done, Fatty.
Fat!
Ouch. Alvin. Daniel tweets, "Jim, now I get to discharge the Judys from their mobile home." Signed, Silk.
Discharge the Judys.
I wonder what the position actually entails. Is he going to listen to his constituents? Is he going to upgrade the life, the neighborhoods, the actual mobile homes themselves? Like you're putting this guy in charge of 8,000 mobile homes. This is where countless thousands live. He's being charged with that. Wow, it sounds to me like a pretty big swing. What it do, Tan Smack? Congratulations, Park Bra. Now can you hook me up? Yours, Iray.
Bra.
Eric near the Canadian Falls, elite jungle contributor. Hey, Jim. Tito may have murdered the English language. He may have done some questionable things after being elected. At least he isn't a bleeping narc. Regards, people who don't suck. Me in Hartford. I'm not sure if that's true or not. When you consider that Tito got really upset with TK Burgers for having a mask policy, did that not in fact make him a narc?
Suck.
At SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, I would like to personally welcome Silk to the wonderful world of public servitude. Sincerely, Robert Dasmati.
Professor,
got more
Eric
reaction
Silk
when we come back. Ran very heavy in that segment, and understandably so. Congrats to our very own Eric Silkinson for getting that gig, that appointment. Did that come from the mayor herself? I think that it did. Listen, if Kim Carr thinks you're all that, then you must be.
Aye.
When we come back, quick segment, more reaction. Brandon Bean at 40 past. It is Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. You can save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere at all, and top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access, product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. You want to call and click Grainger.com or stop on by. Brandon Bean is coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. Quickly, some reaction. Johnny Scabs is back. Most people hit hard times and end up in a trailer park. Silk got promoted to the trailer park.
Bruh.
Wore sleeveless tees. Hey, Scabs, I didn't know they had cell service in hell. Or phones. Or laptops. Planet Wilson 1 tweets, congratulations, Silk. Please don't make us take the tires off our roof. Thanks, Huntington Beach. Trailer trash. Drew in West LA. Quote, meanwhile, the Irvine City Council is discussing measures to expand office parks and track housing developments. Dear Rome, I'm not going to dignify that, Drew. Dear Rome, Silk Bra is essentially a trailer park supervisor. Must have let the liquor do the thinking. Yours, the late, great Jim Leahy. Johnny and GB. John in New York, quote, Silkinson in the news means Janet needs a new phone number. And a new phone. Dear Jim, Jan's the only person I know. I don't want to say it, but I'm not saying she's the only one, but she's the only one I know who still has a phone with a home button. She will not change. Dear Jim, perfect gig for the Professor Snitch. Now he can boot all the trailer trash out of his beloved HB. Entitled Sanctimonious Tool. Brad in Bellingham. Rome, I have seen where Silk lives. He has a little truck with a personalized license plate that says Silk Bra. He's lucky to live in the mobile community.
Bruh.
Ryan in Newport Beach. Hedstrom Bacon. Sounds like Professor Silkinson may be discharging the Judies as well as the Crystals, Brandies, Destinies, and Candies.
Discharge the Judies.
That's well done, Bacon. I probably shouldn't say, but that's well done, Bacon. Rome, I am personally very proud of Silkinson's meteoric rise to mid-level bureaucracy. Sincerely, the guy still working at the mall at age 47. War Orange Julius. That stuff's ass, isn't it? Robin Harrisburg. I love this guy's handle, at Lanier Messenger. That's like my favorite Twitter handle. It should be mine. That's how I got my start, selling Lanier Messengers. War Silk Bra, letting us put flyers on all 8,000 trailers with weekly sales on DVD players and flat screen TVs for only $49 a week for 3 years. Signed, Rent to Own Salesman. Squirrel 2. That sounded like Amory, and not at all like Silk pretending to be Amory. Yours, Mike in Indy and Jeff in Southfield.
Professor Eric Silkinson.
Yeah, no, that's Amory. That's definitely not Silkinson. Then you'd be implying that Silkinson was nominating himself for the 9A title.
Bruh.
Amory. Hey, Rome, it sure got to make those residents of the trailer park feel good that their livelihood is now in the hands of a burnout whose wife leaves him a list of chores and $20 bill each day. Signed, Stephen Phoenix. This is getting kind of harsh. When we come back, if there's any time for more on the back end, I will find it. But Bill's executive, Brandon Bean, is going to join me next. Before I get there, though, I do owe you a... ATP, a Wednesday thing. We do it every single Wednesday, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Talking one of my favorite topics right now. You know me. I do not play favorites. Completely objective. However, I would be lying if I said this was not a big Bills house. This show has history with that community, and I've said many, many times, when the Buffalo Bills are good, the NFL is so much better. That said, we are joined by their general manager. He was named GM on May 9th, 2017. He spent the previous 19 years with the Panthers, led the Bills to the playoffs 3 times in 4 seasons. Buffalo coming off a 13-3 season. They were the AFC Eastern Division champs. Brandon Bean is my guest. Brandon, really nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
It is really good to have you on, Brandon. Let me ask you this. Like, I understand there's still work to be done, but this team is back. The buzz is extremely thick. What's it like to be in the middle of this incredible bounce back by the franchise, and what's it like to be with the Buffalo Bills at this time?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you talked about it in the intro. Just this fan base is unmatched. It's one of the historic fan bases this league's had for so long, and when they're winning, I mean, they back this team even when they're losing. I mean, they show up. I remember even some years we played here in Carolina when it was a down year, and their fans were into the game as if they were, you know, a 10-win team. And it's a college-type atmosphere, and social media has really help them. They do a great job with it, but just the Bills Mafia is not just in Western New York; it's nationwide, and our players, they love it, they appeal to it, and they it allows them to mesh with our fans. So it's been fun. We want to get this team, a Lombardi Trophy. We haven't done that, and that's what this fan base deserves.
Brandon Bean is joining us. I think you made a great point, because I did make the point that when the team is good, the NFL is better, but I was actually going to make the point, and then you made it for me. Even when the team was not as competitive, man, they show up. They show up every single Sunday with that same heat, that same fire, that same passion. It's amazing. I was also going to say, I think that nationally people understand the passion of the Bills Mafia, but unless you're really in it, it's almost impossible to really know. Like, can you explain what the team means to the fans and then what the fans mean to this team?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, our players can't walk around this community and not be noticed. And I'm not talking about Josh Allen. I'm talking about, backups, whoever. They'll know every rookie that we just picked. If they see him in the grocery store, they won't, they know him. I mean, they study him. They know everything about him. And I know when I was in Carolina, which is not a huge area, players could roam around. Obviously, they knew the Steve Smiths and Julius Peppers and Jake Delhomme and Cam Newtons, but, back-end players could kind of roam and live their life, and I think that's the way it is in most communities, but they can't hear. And again, our fan base, a funny story, Jim, is so Stephon Diggs, this is our first year with Steph, and we're playing with no fans, so he's hearing about Bills Mafia. And we win the AFC East in Denver, and we fly home. We land at, 1:30, 2 in the morning. It's sub-freezing. It was in the 20s, I think. But we had thousands of fans out there waiting to greet this team, and he was blown away. The players were telling him, before we land, dude, you have no idea what's going to happen when you get off this plane, because there were social media posts of people already out there. And he was blown away. He's like, I played college. I played in Minnesota. I've never seen anything like it.
Brandon Bean joining us. I love that story. That is such a good anecdote about Stephon Diggs, who I'm going to ask you about in a minute. But, to your point that it's almost like a college town. It's one thing that, of course, that when your star players are walking around, they'll be recognized. But they know everybody. They know the rookie. They know everybody on the depth chart. It does kind of remind me, Brandon, way, way back in the day when we syndicated this show and I first came on the air in Nebraska and I went to Lincoln for the first time. I was blown away. They knew everybody on the depth chart. And it's not just the stars. And it reminds me of the Bills Mafia. You mentioned Stephon. I mean, that was such a huge swing that you made in bringing him in, and it paid off with 127 receptions, more than 1,500 yards. You knew he was a playmaker, but what has he meant to the team and the organization overall?
Yeah, I mean, he's a competitive, fiery dude. He comes in and, he doesn't just go through practice to get to game days. I've been around good players that they kind of just feel their way through the week, and they're ready to go on game, and that's how they do it. Steph raises the intensity as soon as you step on that field. He's mellow in the building through meetings, but when he steps on the grass, it's a different intensity and a fun thing to watch. I mean, not only in training camp, but all season, him and Tre'Davious White would just go against each other in one-on-ones, and it would just raise the intensity. And that's what, iron sharpens iron. We use, quotes like that all the time, but that's what he brought. And, he did a great job of not trying to be something he was. He felt his way onto the team. And by mid-season, even though he wasn't voted a captain at the beginning of the year, he was one of the leaders. He might as well have been a captain. I'd be surprised if he's not one here in 21.
We're talking to Brandon Bean. I don't know, Brandon, I'm on the outside looking in, but this guy just strikes me as fierce, like a fierce competitor, a fierce worker. He's going to make guys around him better. And then you've got your quarterback, Josh Allen, an All-Pro, an MVP candidate last year in his third season. I mean, it's amazing the explosive growth that he's experienced. The thing that I'm really struck by, though, and tell me about this, it seems like his teammates not only like him, they absolutely love him, and they will go to battle for him. So how would you describe him as a leader and what his personality means to the team?
Yeah, I mean, Josh, from the day we drafted him, I told the media, this guy is Buffalo. Small town farm boy in the Fresno area, Fireball, California, blue collar upbringing. His dad told him, you're either on the farm or you're playing sports. That's your excuse to not be out on the farm. And not highly decorated, goes to junior college. Finally gets a look, Wyoming, which is not one of the major schools putting out quarterbacks, but Josh is just head down. Guys love him. Shows up every day. He doesn't act any different when he was in the MVP race than he did his rookie year. And he just has a confidence. And when he steps in that huddle, the guys believe something good's about to happen. And that's important. That's what the good ones have. And they want to believe in that guy, and Josh brings that every day.
Yeah, Brandon, obviously, when you take a shot at him the way you did, and you not only pick him, but you move up to get him, you obviously had a really strong feeling about him. But as I mentioned, his growth is just meteoric. It's just explosive. You expected really good things from him, but did you expect him to be doing what he's doing so soon in his career?
Well, you know, we thought it's hard to say where you expect, because you don't try and put exactly where he needs to be after year two, year three. But the one thing that really gave us confidence in drafting Josh was he had the DNA. Obviously, we talk about potential all the time, and it probably gets overused. But Josh, we just felt, you know, being an under-recruited, didn't go to all these 7-on-7 passing academies and like so many do these days. And we just felt like with coaching, with time, that he has the DNA, the drive, the competitive spirit. He wants to be the best, and anything less than the best is not good enough for him. And that's why he gets so much credit for his what he's done. I mean, there are a lot of people that have helped him. Brian Daboll, Ken Dorsey. He works with Jordan Palmer in the off season, but you have to give Josh the most credit because he cares about his craft. He wants to be great. He talks to former quarterbacks. I know Tony Romo's helped him some, Peyton Manning. He's just, he's not afraid to ask the right questions, people who have done it and been there.
Well, so he's about all the right stuff, and he's got, like, unbelievable talent, obviously. Brandon being my guest for a couple of more moments, but he's got a chip, right? He's got a chip because of where he came from. When you're putting a team together and you're trying to get the right culture and you're working with Sean McDermott on that, when you're selecting players and you're looking to draft guys and sign guys, how much of that chip or that intangible thing comes into play when you're looking for players?
It definitely does. I mean, we grade players, you know, if you want to talk about the draft, which we just had, Jim, we grade players, we put them on the board by their talent, but we put markers and indicators, if the guys that have chips, the guys that have been captains, the guys that they're going to leave no stone unturned, kind of like I talked about Josh. And there are so many guys that we talk about, their floor as a player and their ceiling as a player. But if they don't have that DNA, that they're going to do everything and leave no stone unturned, the potential and the high ceiling does you no good. And so we're definitely looking for guys that are willing to invest in their careers. They're not just going to be a 6-month player, that they're going to, you know, this whole off season, that they're going to be doing everything they can on the field and then mentally off the field to be the best version of themselves.
All right, so quickly, that's really fascinating to me about what you're looking for in a player. What are you looking for in a coach? Clearly, you and Sean McDermott are on the same page, and you kind of, even Terry Pegula said, they're connected at the hip, the two of those guys. So what were you looking for in a coach, or what would you look for in a coach?
Yeah, I mean, Sean has that great DNA. He's a blue-collar guy as well, but intelligence. And a guy that is a CEO, you know, unfortunately, you see many coaches get to this level because they were a good coordinator, but they get to the head coach level and they don't understand the big picture, the CEO look, and being able to talk to his players. Yes, discipline, all those things that we want to be. We don't want to beat ourselves. And Sean does a great job of preaching, you know, the fundamentals of the game, but he also does a great job of having a leadership council. And you have your captains. He's got his leaders, but just knowing, hey, you know, being able to hear these guys and, hey, today we've gone 4 straight days of pads or whatever, they need a break, or hey, we just need to back off here, or we need to. Sometimes we've had guys that said, coach, we haven't done enough 9-on-7, we missed some tackles this game, we weren't physical, what's going on? And I think he does a great job of having the pulse of our team and really understands who the leaders are, who's not, and that helps you when you have adversity. Every team each season goes through some, and I think Sean's got a great pulse of our locker room.
Brandon Bean joining us. I've got about 90 seconds, Brandon. I understand there's a process. I understand it's one day at a time, one thing at a time. I understand you're only focused on what you can control, but have you allowed yourself to imagine what it might feel like to bring a Super Bowl victory to that town?
Oh, Jim, you have no idea. I wake up thinking about it all the time, and that's that's what drives you. And that's, you know, I know I speak for Sean and the Pagulas as well. We're also competitive that we're looking for any inch, you know, to make us better and win that last game that we lost to get us in the big game. And there will be nothing greater in Western New York than the day the Buffalo Bills win it, and I hope I'm fortunate enough to be here when it happens.
He is the general manager. He has been since May of 2017. He did spend 19 years with the Panthers. Buffalo 13-3. They won the AFC East, and they are looking to continue. Brandon being my guest. Brandon, so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the conversation. Great to have you on the show. I hope we can do it again soon. That was a blast.
Sounds good, Jim. Thanks for having me. See you.
Great to have you. Thank you very much, Brandon. That's how you do it. I told you today would be great, and it was. Brandon Bean, Kamaru Usman, Terry Fontenot, a beef segment, Silkinson in the news. It's an awesome day.
Bruh.
The ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff. You know, over 250 local branches, call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. I mentioned all the guests. My thanks to them. Thanks to the XR4TI. I will see you next time. I'm out.